this hour of the Jason Rand Show, brought to you by MM Comfort Systems. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
They are now mirroring the opinion in that New York Times piece that I think we talked about either on Monday or Tuesday. Local experts are now agreeing we are not going to hit herd immunity from COVID.
There's a lot of COVID-19 circulating in our communities right now. The bad news is it's going to be very difficult to get rid of it.
It's going to be difficult to get rid of it. The truth is, as experts seem to now be coming to a consensus on, it's going to be treated like the flu, effectively treated like the flu in how we approach COVID. It doesn't mean that COVID is the flu. It means that our approach will be similar, that you mitigate COVID like you would mitigate the flu. That you have a basic expectation that it's always going to be here, that it's going to hit people, that you protect people who are the most vulnerable. And who are the most vulnerable? We have mountains of data. The people who are the most vulnerable are the ones who are 60 plus, folks who have comorbidities. And when we say most vulnerable, we don't mean that they are hit with a death sentence when they have COVID. The good news is, in all of this, we've learned a lot about the coronavirus. We have incredible treatments for the coronavirus. So even if someone who is, say, 73 years old gets the coronavirus, including if they have comorbidities, there are treatments that work. Now, do we want a 73-year-old to get the coronavirus? No. The same way I don't want a 73-year-old to get the flu. However, we have really good treatments for it. So what you end up doing is you come up with a game plan. And the game plan, in a perfect world, you vaccinate all the people who are at high risk. And you make sure we have the infrastructure in place, which takes time to get to. Get everybody who needs to vaccinated. You get everybody else vaccinated, again, like you do with the flu. And you mitigate the risks everywhere else. Which means, no, you're not closing down the economy. Yes, you're encouraging everybody to get vaccinated. You're at a point where it's really easy to get the vaccine. You're at the point where the vaccine is tested long-term, and it's tested on lots of different people, and you've got even more data, and we go on with our lives. That's where we're going. Now, a lot of people thought we were going to get to that point at some point, that herd immunity was unlikely. Although, to be clear, at some point, everyone thought we were going to get to herd immunity. There were some voices that, I don't know if we're going to get her. Did you see those variants? But not everyone held that position. And once the variants were out there to the point where it seemed pretty clear that it was spreading too fast and it was changing too quickly, it was mutating too quickly, the experts started to shift their thinking. And again, it's okay to shift thinking. It's okay to change tactics. What's not okay is to pretend that it is still March of last year. And for way too many public officials, like, for example, Jay Inslee, we're pretending like it is March of 2020. Dr. Jerry Kanglasasi from the University of Washington spoke with King 5.
COVID-19 is different from anything we've ever encountered before. I guess the one small silver lining is that in addition to the vaccination, which probably will get to eventually about 60 to 70% of us, there's also a lot of people who've been infected and they have some level of immunity as well.
Yep. So pay attention to who is changing, as a politician, who is changing their tactics. And pay attention, more importantly, to those who are not. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
So not only is the encampment at Broadview Thompson K through 8th in North Seattle getting bigger and bigger and bigger, which makes total sense because when you say you're not going to actually clear an encampment, it, of course, gets worse because word gets out. Not only is it getting bigger and bigger, but now the needle exchange program from Seattle King County Public Health, which we talked about in Federal Way, guess what? They are now making visits. And they are exchanging needles, or at least attempting to, on school property. And it's in clear view of children. Just what they need. Paul Riemann, whose home overlooks the encampment, because that's the kind of view you want when you spend the amount of money you spend to get a home in Seattle. He tells Como TV that he is disgusted and outraged to see this going on there.
To see them dispersing needles right on your frontage in plain sight for everybody to see was just, it was an outrageous moment. And this community, on top of all that we've gone through, was just outraged again.
Yeah. This poor guy. I feel it. I feel you. Como reports that public health said the needle exchange program normally would use a nearby parking lot in Bitter Lake, but the lot happened to be full this week. So they decided to pull up right next to the district property, and they provided their services, which include just walking up and saying, "Hey, I would like a box of needles." And they're all like, "Hey, here's a box of needles." They say their program is designed to prevent HIV and blood-borne illnesses among the drug users, which is interesting because anytime we talk about any kind of homeless encampment being filled with drug users, we're told, hey, stop shaming people. They are your neighbors, your brothers, your sisters, your mothers, your fathers. They are just like you and me. They are just people who fell on hard times. Stop demonizing people as merely drug users. They're not. They just fell on hard times through no fault of their own. Except in a lot of cases, many of them are, in fact, drug users. And they are homeless because of their addiction. And that's not us saying that because we want to shame them. No. We're saying that because we want to come up with actual solution to the problem. And you can't come up with a solution if you're not willing to acknowledge what the problem is. The problem is their addiction. And this proves that. You have a whole bunch of drug users there. And by the way, when we brought that up, what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, about how there are a lot of meth users there, I seem to recall a lot of pushback. So now the kids get to see the meth use. Now the kids get to see the exchanging of needles on top of the fights breaking out and the drug deals going on. The samurai sword. The hatchet throwing. Fun times. And of course, the school district is backing all of this. Tim Robinson is the spokesperson for Seattle Public Schools.
We are certainly in support of needles and sharps and things like that being dealt with and disposed of properly.
He should have just stopped at, we are in support of needles. He could have just stopped there. Because that is the policy of the Seattle Public School District. We don't judge. And speaking of policy, it's also the policy of public health to hand out needles to children. So, hey, good news. If any of the K through 8th graders want to just stop and pick up a bottle or a box of the needles, they can.
I'm glad that public health is just making it easy. That's good. It's all about
over.
It's all about having access to the resources in the community.
Unbelievable what the city and county is becoming. It's just unbelievable. I want to be shocked. I truly do.
But you're not.
But I can't. I can't be. I'm not physically capable of being shocked anymore. And that is sad. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation and send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. I'm talking racism tonight on Fox News at night. 9:20 will be the hit time. I hope you'll tune in. But if you can't, you can watch it on the YouTube page, youtube.com/Jason Rantz. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Technology.
It was a pretty divisive hearing yesterday, and as a result, the King County Council decided not to vote on a proposal to ban the use of facial recognition technology. You had a bunch of people who spoke out against the use of this technology. One of the prevailing arguments against moving forward with a vote involved the fact that lawmakers recently just passed a law addressing a lot of the underlying concerns related to the technology. Why then would you go forward with a ban when state lawmakers already addressed those concerns at the heart of the people calling for the ban. Still, members like Councilmember Jean Cole Wells sponsoring this bill to ban this particular law enforcement tool hit up the keyword, the theme of 2021. It's all about her concerns are all about equity.
People who are Black, Asian, Latino, people with darker skins, especially females, are more likely to be misidentified by this technology.
Not really so much. Let's talk with King County Councilmember Kathy Lambert, who joins us on the line. Councilmember, welcome to the show. Do you agree with Councilmember Jean Cole Wells?
Well, I think that she is talking about the technology as it is today, and I think some of that data was from a couple months ago, and I think that as technology goes on, it will become more and more precise, and it is really important how we allow this use. So if we say you can identify the person in a crime situation, but you have to have other cooperating evidence, that can't be the only thing. And I think the issue that you brought up that's really important is that the state just did this, and it hasn't even taken effect yet. So we need, I think, to start looking at what is the state doing, how can that be uniform across the entire state, and also what are the impacts. And then if we want to add to it, because the law says we can add to it if we choose to, but let's see what their data comes up, and maybe we'll add something different. We don't know yet. I will tell you that I was in China, and I was very surprised by how many places they knew that I had been, how many pictures they had that I didn't know that they were taking of me. And it was a little disconcerting, to say the least. So we don't really want cameras. And this only would apply to government. It doesn't apply to businesses. And I'm actually more concerned in some ways about that, that I could go into a store and they would be able to know what store I went, what time I go. And those kinds of things, I think, are a huge invasion of privacy. So I think it's a huge issue that we need to be looking at preserving our privacy, both on the internet and with the new technologies.
For me, there's two separate issues here, right? And it's similar to you. So there's the law enforcement issue, or really the governmental issue, and then there's the privacy issue as it relates to the businesses. On the issue of law enforcement, one of the reasons why I push back against just a flat-out ban, and it's something that's been brought up in this debate, is that there are completely legitimate uses for this kind of technology, such as finding missing persons, including identifying victims of child sex trafficking. And it's just simply throwing this aside and saying, we will never use this, because Councilmember Jean Cole Wells and other activists are relying on studies being done by like the ACLU and other groups that are anti-police. I find that problematic.
Yeah, they were not clear when I asked the question about like the ring phones. So if I saw somebody on my ring phone and I didn't know who that person was, and I turned that over to the police, and they were able to use the technology, which they aren't using right now, but if they were, to be able to say, oh, that's that person, then they could go and interview them. It makes for that tool to be much easier. So they didn't have very good answers to that. At one point they said yes, that would still be able to be done, and another point they said no, which means there's no clarity on that. The bill also says that if a government organization gets data that has been acquired through facial recognition, that they need to immediately delete it. And you know, we have a public disclosure law that says we can't do that. So I asked about that. Which law do we obey, and how do we do this, since they're conflicting? The other thing is that we really would like to get into body cameras for our officers. And so in order to do that, we will need to have some redaction. And redaction is very expensive. It's done manually. So this could be a tool that is available that could make it be done automatically, which means that it would be more efficient. So that also wasn't clear. So that's why it's on hold.
Yeah, and how much of this is really just being driven by an ideological perspective, not even just by Councilmember Jean Caldwell and others who are against this, but by the activists behind this? Because I'm getting all the press releases who are demanding that we ban the use of facial technology, and then you go into the backgrounds of these organizations, and they are just virulently anti-police.
Well, I think there's a huge overlap there, and you hit the nail on the head when you said we heard from a lot of groups. We didn't hear from a lot of citizens saying, no, I do want the police to be able to use these technologies. Maybe not as the sole one, but we need to be protected as citizens from people who commit crimes. And, you know, the man that people are talking about right now that's out stealing mail every single day, you know,
West Seattle.
Yes, we need to put that to a stop. And it's very difficult. I asked yesterday about the idea of after you've been arrested twice in a month, that you have to have a mental evaluation. And there was all kinds of comments, but I'm going to work on that. And I could use help from your citizens that, no, once we've arrested somebody twice in the same month, we need to know what's going on in their life so that we can get them the services mm-hmm. they need and they aren't out victimizing, and especially in a situation like that where it's continual.
There you go. We've been talking with King County Councilmember Kathy Lambert. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. You're listening to the Jason Rand Show. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
As early as next week, the FDA is expected to authorize giving the Pfizer vaccine to kids 12 to 15 years old. 12-year-old local gymnast Holly Muckford tells Cairo 7 TV she's looking forward to getting the Pfizer vaccine, even though she very clearly doesn't actually need it.
I'm excited to get vaccinated. Yeah. It means that I get to do practice and I get to be with friends.
You don't do practice. You practice.
That's what you're gonna burn a 12-year-old?
You don't do practice. You practice. Muckford says getting vaccinated means she's going to worry less about catching COVID, even though right now she shouldn't be worried all that much at all.
Even though I'm still wearing a mask, I'm excited that I still am able to like hang out with them without the worry of having the virus just in the back of my mind.
What are we doing to these kids? You should not worry right now about getting the virus. You should not worry right now as a 12-year-old girl. Now, I suppose it's possible that she has a underlying health condition, right? It's possible.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Doesn't say that in the story. And the reason why I want to underline that is because we should not be putting this burden on these kids who are dealing with enough right now. Number one, they feel the stress that the parents are feeling, not due to COVID as a virus, but due to COVID as an economic stressor, keeping people out of work, causing economic pain. 0% of deaths in the state of Washington comes from the 0 to 19-year-old category. In that age demographic, only 2% of hospitalizations represent the overall number in Washington state. And of that 2%, the majority of them, if not all of them, come from that older part of the demographic. And even of those, almost all of them are due to the individuals who had comorbidities. I understand that there are some kids who have been told that this is super necessary because of parents who, through no fault of their own, are talking to their kids about the seriousness of COVID. And I don't blame them for that. COVID is serious. And it is appropriate to have a conversation with your kid about the coronavirus and everything that's going on in an age-appropriate way. I have no problem with that. But you shouldn't be scaring them to the point where they think they need this vaccine more than anything else. And that's the tone I get from her. That's the tone I get from her. And in the back of my mind, I am wondering if she has a secret twin who comes from another family from Palm Springs, and they met at summer camp wearing masks, and now they switched families, and they're trying to get their parents back together.
Are you trying to make this a movie?
It's The Parent Trap.
I know. Why are you referencing a movie that came out when you were like 53 years old?
Okay, first of all, they did a remake of it.
They did a remake of The Parent Trap?
Lindsay Lohan.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, it was actually kind of good.
I'm learning. Well, I know that. I know the Lindsay Lohan one. What was the original?
It was with, oh my gosh. What was her name? Not Patty Duke.
I'm learning so much information today, Jason.
The teacher from the first season of Saved by the Bell, and someone's going to text in the answer to 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. Someone's going to answer me. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show. If you think it is wrong, if you think it is unethical or even immoral to mandate that healthy, low-risk 18 to 21-year-old college students get the COVID vaccine when they don't want to, you should text the keyword RANTS, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. So I can send you not only the latest link to my blog, but also embedded in that blog is my hit last night from the Tucker Carlson Show on this topic. It has nothing to do with whether or not you are pro-vaccine or quote-unquote anti-vaccine. I am pro-vaccine. I am 100% pro-vaccine. And when I say pro-vaccine, I don't mean vaccine in a general sense. I support this vaccine. I have it inside of me as we speak. I feel it. I feel it. The baby it impregnated me with as a side effect. It's kicking right now. I'm kidding.
Did you tell that one guy on Twitter that you are pregnant from the vaccine? Because he called you an anti-vaxxer, you know?
It's the lunatics. I got the vaccine. I had a few side effects, small side effects. I felt a little flu-like that night or the next night. You almost died yesterday.
Oh, I felt awful.
And then now today?
Feel fine.
Yeah, you're fine. You had some chills yesterday, and you're fine.
Yeah, chills, the sweats, I had everything.
Which is very weird to have them at the same time.
It was like I would go 3 minutes of the chills, and then I would get extremely hot and just start sweating my life out.
Now, we're not supposed to talk about this. Not from work. No one here is telling us not to have this conversation. However, politicians and folks in the media, they don't want us to have a conversation about the side effects of the COVID vaccine. I reject that fully. Why? Because I believe when people choose not to talk about things everyone else knows is real, creates suspicion. Tucker Carlson is not supposed to ask some reasonable questions like, has anyone died from the vaccine? Seriously, has anyone died from it? What are the side effects of it? You guys stopped the J&J. You put it on pause because there were some suspicious deaths potentially linked to it. You all did that. The FDA put a pause on it, and then you unpaused it. What did you find out? Like, you're not supposed to ask any questions. And every time he asks any questions, he trends on Twitter. And then I got attached to it because I was the second guest after his monologue that went viral again yesterday. You're not supposed to ask any questions. You're not supposed to talk about it. It's irresponsible. It's going to cause people to not get the vaccine. I'm sorry. I think telling people not to ask questions that people are thinking about is the actual reason that people don't get the vaccine. That's what I believe. So I'm going to be open and share my experiences. I want people to share their experiences because I don't want them to go into this thinking, oh my gosh, I hear their side effects, but they're not talking about it on TV. It must be because it's awful. I don't want to risk it. I don't want to do it. For some people, the side effects of getting the Moderna, for most people that I've heard, Moderna side effects are way worse than Pfizer. And when I say way worse, I only mean it in the context of what the Pfizer people get versus what the Moderna get. And when I say side effects, it's mostly flu-like symptoms. For me, after I got the Pfizer The first shot, I had no side effects other than what most people get after the flu shot, which is a sore arm. That went away within a few hours. It hurt a little bit more, I think, than what I remember the flu shot getting, because I don't normally get the flu shot. It depends on my level of trust in the nurse who the company pays and brings down here to give the flu shot. One time, it was an older woman whose hand was shaking. I'm like, nope, I'm out. Her hand, she had the shaky hand, not doing it.
I'm glad that's how you make your decision.
I went down, hand was shaky, said, nope, I'm out. The second time, she looked fine. I let her do it. Third time, I think I didn't like her shoes, so I was like, nope, I'm out.
Oh, yeah, that's how sound
I
reasoning.
It's literally how I do it. So it hurt just a little bit more than that, I think. Or it was about the same. Second shot I got, which was last Wednesday, the next that day I was fine. I will say this. I think you said the same thing. I don't even recall feeling it go in.
Yeah, no.
Weirdly. It actually felt weird.
If the guy didn't count down on my second one, I would have had no clue. The first one, the lady didn't count down, and I was like, oh, hey, we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
Look at that.
So the next day, I woke up feeling a little body tired. Mentally, I was fine. I didn't feel lethargic or anything, but kind of body tired. That went away by noon, and that day I woke up around 5-ish, 5:30. By noon, it went away. By night, at about 6:30 or so, I was like, I got the feeling that you get before you feel like you're coming down with the flu. I was like, oh, I feel like I'm coming down with something. You don't feel bad, but you feel kind of crummy off. So I went to bed early, woke up the next day, was fine. I remember texting Peyton saying, you're old and you're going to die. That's what he texted me, folks. He's a horrible person.
Well, yeah.
He said, you're a wimp. He was giving me a hard time. He was saying, suck it up, buttercup, but in bad language. Let it be known, last night he texted me. What did you text me? What were your side effects? Way worse than mine.
I don't know how, but yes, my side effects were way worse than yours. I thought that being the younger, better-looking person, that I wouldn't get side effects, and yet I got worse side effects.
That's what happens when you lie, because yes, certainly you're younger than me, but that's about it. Might have been because of all the gel that you used to put in your hair seeped into your system, and perhaps it interacted with the vaccine. Now, still, in the grand scheme of things, your side effects weren't that bad.
No, I still came into work. I felt fine. I felt good enough to, walk into work. Yeah. I would feel good for, a 30-minute chunk and then be like, eh, feel bleh. But, no, yeah, I was able to...
How are you feeling now?
Feel fine.
Okay. Did anyone force you to get that vaccine?
No.
Would you feel slightly different if someone did?
Yeah, if somebody... Nobody likes to be forced to do anything.
I don't want to force someone into getting the vaccine. I got it in consultation with my doctor. I made the decision on my own to get a vaccine. I did it because I don't want to get COVID. And despite what some folks will tell you, it is safe. In fact, again, it's funny because I listened to the people talk about Tucker Carlson's monologues, who says all the time, yeah, the data tells you that this vaccine is safe. But he has some questions. I have some questions, too, that some people still refuse to answer. And they're answering some of them, but for the most part, they're being ignored. I don't think anyone should force someone to get this vaccine. Central Washington University today announced that they are now forcing their students to get vaccinated. Last night or yesterday afternoon, Western Washington announced that they are forcing their students to get vaccinated. The University of Washington, Wazoo, we now have SU, PLU, and as I think I said yesterday, by the end of maybe next week, I'm expecting that most of, if not all of the colleges will in fact require that students get vaccinated. To me, that is wrong for two reasons. Number one, some of the people who are the least likely to suffer any consequence of COVID are college-aged students. You have a 1/10 percentage likelihood of death or hospitalization as a college student, including, by the way, if you have a comorbidity. I think if you get up to like 2 or 3, depending on the comorbidity, you might have a hospitalization rate of 1% or like 1.4%. I've actually got it linked into my blog. If you text the keyword rants to 1-800-465-8770, I've got it linked there if you want to look it up. And the death rate is still less than a tenth or at a tenth of a percentage point. Number two, how many college-age students right now already had COVID and have the antibodies in their system? They are better protected from COVID than someone who actually gets the vaccine. We've not done any long studies or meaningful studies on the vaccine given to someone who already had COVID. To me, that seems unconscionable to force that person to do that. And yet that's what the colleges are doing. That is wrong to me. It is wrong to me. And the only way we can register our distrust, our disgust, is to highlight this and to call it out, to push back. So please join me by texting the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Doctors told us for the longest time, up until recently, don't put medication in your body, don't put stuff in your body that you do not need. And I would argue that a healthy 19-year-old kid who already had COVID doesn't need to put this in their body. Unless they want to. Call me crazy.
You're crazy.
Call me anti-vaxxer if you want.
Anti-vaxxer.
I'm pro-vaccine.
Oh.
I wouldn't make that choice as a healthy 19-year-old, which, as it turns out, on my Tinder account, shows me as a healthy 19-year-old, including my 19-year-old photo.
Your list is 19. You can't even get a drink.
It says I have an ID, a fake ID.
On Tinder?
Yeah, it says my ID shows me as 39. It's very confusing. Text RANTZ to 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. What it must feel like to have a local lawmaker or statewide lawmaker to say to you proudly that he backs law enforcement, that he will never, ever, ever defund police. That's exactly what Governor Ron DeSantis did today by signing a bill that will not let any local government in Florida defund the police.
We were very concerned with public safety during this session. We passed the strongest anti-rioting legislation in the country that really says a couple things. One is we're not going to let local governments defund law enforcement. Now, granted, in Southwest Florida, that's probably not as much of a concern, but that's something that could happen in some of these other enclaves in the state of Florida. By passing this bill and me signing it, that is not going to happen. If a local jurisdiction tries to do that, we're restoring the funding.
God bless this governor. And, you know, he points out, is this likely to be an issue? No. No. But this is an insurance policy. Just in case, it's possible in some places within Florida that this is something that could happen. This ensures, just in case, that it doesn't. This ensures that just in case a local city decides to do something boneheaded, that we will restore the funding. That in the state of Florida, we will not allow lunatic anti-cop activists put the lives and livelihoods of our citizens on the line. We will not allow them to speak out and then, based on their activism, hurt our communities by going after cops. There are very, very few lawmakers in this country willing to go out on a line like that. They exist, mostly in red states. Now, of course, we have a few lawmakers in Washington, obviously Republicans, who stand up for police. There's no doubt about it, right? We have quite a few. Jenny Graham, Brad Klippert, J.T. Wilcox. We have a lot here in Washington. The unfortunate reality is they don't have a lot of power right now because they don't have any majorities in Olympia. And where it counts right now on councils, they don't have that much power. Nate Nearing, for example, Snohomish County Council member, we're a huge fan of his. He's running for re-election, by the way. Make sure in Snohomish County you vote for him if you're in his district. He's not in the majority on the council. Now, Snohomish County Council is not crazy, crazy far to the left, but he doesn't have the majority. We have Hans Ziegler in Pierce County. Not in the majority. They're not crazy, crazy, crazy far to the left, but they don't have the majority. We need to start winning back these majorities on a local level and a statewide level so we can have more moves like this. There are more of us who hold positions like the one that Ron DeSantis just explained. So what are we doing to put people like him in power here? Now, I've proposed this. So far, I haven't received the momentum needed to get the governor exchange program in place. I've proposed, even if for a month, we do just an exchange, Inslee for DeSantis. Just a month. No one in Florida has said yes to that.
You need to pitch it to a reality TV network, because that's really who's going to get the ball moving.
Like governor swap?
Yes.
Like wife swap, governor swap.
Yes.
ABC might be down. It's Jason Rancho.